the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
The weekend's here.
It is.
Ooh. Yay.
And Dave's ready for it.
Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, goodness.
Well, we're glad you could join us before the week ended.
Thank you. I just thought I'd come back and see what's going on.
There you go. Know. And hopefully you're pleased. And,
I am.
You'll give us the weekend off.
We're still in the air, and yes, we can take the weekend off.
All right, good. Well, most of us are looking forward to the weekend, and we always like to begin our show with a prayer, and we'll do that right now in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. God, light and shepherd of souls, you established St. Marcellinus as bishop in your church to feed your flock by his word and form it by his example. Help us through his intercession to keep the faith he taught by his word and follow the way he showed by his example. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
St. Marcellinus and Peter.
Oh, and Peter.
Don't forget Peter. Pray for us. Don't know which Peter. I don't even know if the church really knows.
But I bet we'll find out.
We'll find out next break. They say both of these guys, you know, don't know a whole lot about them.
Oh, it's one of those.
Yeah.
Okay. Little is known. Okay. Yeah.
Little is known.
All right.
Sometimes it's better that way. That's coming up later on in today's show. We'll learn more about today's saints, but we have a wonderful lineup for you, starting off with Eric Miller. He is the state advocate for the Louisiana State Council's Louisiana Knights of Columbus. He's going to give us an update on what they're up to for the month of June. Almost said May, but we're in June, and it's hard for me to believe that we're in June already. So Eric's going to update us on what they're doing this summer. In 18 minutes, Father Albert Blount is going to be joining us. He's a pro
Father Albert.
Of Saint. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Father Albert, isn't Saint that great?
Yes, and he's in a great parish, St. John the Evangelist Church in Prairieville. It's such a vibrant parish over there in Ascension.
Yeah.
And he's going to be talking about his ordination to the priesthood. I love talking to people after they get ordained because they have such a vibrant, joyful, you know, memories, of course, because it's so fresh. So we're going to be talking to Father Albert later on in today's show. It's coming up in 18 minutes. In 35 minutes, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us to give us a recipe for the weekend and talk food. And in 48 minutes, Margaret Miller joins us. She's a coordinator with Walking with Moms in Needs in the Diocese of Biloxi. And she's going to be updating us and telling us a little bit about their wonderful ministry that helps so many people in need and in crisis. So looking forward to talking to Margaret today. And Damian, looking forward to a wonderful weekend. What do you have for us today?
Should be. It's going to be dry for sure. The dry conditions continue, and not only today, but also probably through the weekend. We do have a slight chance of rain, only of 10% or less for today and Sunday, but on Saturday, 20%. So when you think about it, we really don't have that big of a chance of rain. So the plants and all sure could use some rain, but you'll have to continue to water them in the meantime. Overall, sunny conditions in the afternoon. We may see a cloud or two. Winds are out of the northeast, trying to keep things cool. High should be around 94, low around 70. It'll continue that way through the weekend. Temperatures in and around the area right now, Gulfport at 73. In Covington and Baton Rouge, it's also 71. 73 in Houma Thibodaux and 78 degrees in New Orleans. We have events, and we'll be talking to Eric Miller with the Knights of Columbus coming up next on Wake Up.
Good morning, I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel.
Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple area. He looked around at everything, and since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing from a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went over to see if he could find anything on it. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. It was not the time for figs. And he said to it in reply, "May no one ever eat of your fruit again." And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem, and on entering the temple area, he began to drive out those selling and buying there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He did not permit anyone to carry anything through the temple area. Then he taught them, saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" The chief priests and the scribes came to hear of it and were seeking a way to put him to death, yet they feared him, because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. Early in the morning, as they were walking along, they saw the fig tree withered to its roots. Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus said to them in reply, "Have faith in God. Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be uplifted and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it shall be done for him. Therefore I tell you, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it shall be yours. When you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. It is 9 after the hour on this happy Friday morning, June 2nd. And in fact, today's the day that the movie Padre Pio is going to be released.
Oh, today?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Looking forward to going to the theater to see that. Yeah. I'm a big Padre Pio fan, so I just thought I'd let y'all know. Also with us right now, though, is Eric Miller with the Knights of Columbus. And he's here to tell us about what's been going on. I do know that the state convention, I believe, recently wrapped up. Right, Eric?
That is correct. Good morning. We wrapped up our convention. It was a wonderful convention. I elected all of our new state officers who take control on July 1. Mm. So we're wishing the new state deputy, Vince Whittington, good luck for his next for this upcoming year. And I know they're kicking off their meeting later this month, the June 23rd through the 25th, with the state family meeting and planning all the events that'll be going on in this coming year. So we're very excited about that, and it's specifically for the new state advocate, Mark Carver, who is taking my position the reins of the state advocate going on. So I had a good 7-year run as state advocate for the Knights of Columbus, Louisiana jurisdiction.
How's this going to work?
That's right. Everybody has gotten to know you. You're a member of the family. And does that mean we're not going to be speaking with
great
you now?
Pipes too. He's got a great radio voice. You know, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right now, I think everybody wants me to stay with it.
Yeah. All right.
Yay. Eric.
We'll have to come up with a new title for me. But I'll probably continue to do it unless Mark wants to take over the reins.
Gotcha. We'll let him be a state advocate. You'll still be their spokesperson.
I like that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
A new title at the Knights of Columbus.
That's what he's looking for. That's it. You're their spokesperson. All right.
Right.
Well, because you got a good vibe of what's going on in and around the state. And, of course, this time of year, even though a lot of people slow down because it's summer and school's out, you guys just keep going. And I know this is usually the time of year when y'all do a lot of barbecue dinners and have summertime events.
That's right. So actually today is the Denham Springs of actually Conception Council 6326 is having their barbecue dinner. And it's $10 a plate and pick up from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. today.
Hmm.
You can go to their website, which is KFC6326.org, and get information on how you can order your barbecue chicken and pick it up. And I would encourage everybody to, if to pick up a dinner of a quarter leg of chicken, coleslaw, baked beans, and bread.
Wow.
So, and it's all for a good cause. That's right.
It is. And then tomorrow we have the Knights of Columbus up in Alexandria is assisting with an event, Rockin' on the Runway, which is an air show and plane rides.
Really?
And it benefits the St. Mary's Residential Training School. And it's from 4 to 10:30 tomorrow. That's 4 p.m. to 10:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage everybody to go to that. You can learn more if you go to www.rotr-la.com. But I bet if you just put in Rockin' on the Runway and Sunset, it will pop up.
So, yeah.
Would encourage everybody to try that.
Okay.
And then the next event actually coming up next week is y'all's favorite Knights on Bikes, our annual rally taking place up in Branson, Missouri. And I know guys were taking off this weekend heading that way. Unfortunately, my work doesn't permit. My trip this year was to Ireland that I got back from, so I can't take off another week of work and go, so I'm going to miss that.
Yeah,
so
I take Ireland.
You take Ireland?
Yeah, me too.
Dave would.
I'd be there, yes.
So, and speaking of Irish, I don't know if McGivney is Irish or not, but
very.
Hey, what's the latest on his sainthood? You got any update?
I think it's I do not. It's still processing. I haven't read any updates on it as to where it is. But I will certainly check, and maybe I'll have some good news next month when I report.
Well, I heard there was a miracle of sorts at his church parish.
Oh, okay.
Where the Eucharist.
Wow. Eucharistic miracle?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
The Eucharistic minister was distributing, running low on the Eucharist, and it refilled by itself.
Oh, well, there you go.
I mean, it's an interesting article if you haven't read it. But anyway, it happened at his church parish. Where do they go if they want to learn more about the Knights of Columbus and sign up?
They can go to kfc.org/joinus to become a knight. As long as you're a male, 18 years of age, and Catholic. Or you can go to the state website, louisianakc.org.
Thank you, Eric Miller. You're our man.
Yes,
take care and have a blessed weekend.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 2nd. Today we celebrate Saints Marcellinus and Peter. Little is known about but they were considered important enough to be included among the saints listed in the oldest Eucharistic prayer. In the 4th century, Marcellinus was a prominent Roman priest, while Peter was an exorcist, authorized by the Church to deal with cases of demonic possession. Both men were beheaded in the year 304 during the persecution of the Emperor Diocletian. Pope Damasus wrote an epitaph apparently taken from the report of their executioner, and Emperor Constantine built a basilica over the crypt in which they were buried in Rome. Why are these men included in our Eucharistic prayer and given their own feast day when so little is known about them? Probably because the Church respects its early collective memory. These two martyrs once sent an impulse of encouragement through the whole Church. They made the ultimate act of faith. The Church has always believed that the apostles and the martyrs who shed their blood are joined closely to Christ, and through Christ to us. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. Our pledge drive starts on Monday, June 5th, and runs through Friday, June 9th. We are 100% donor funded, so we rely on our summer pledge drive to keep us on the air, continue to keep us broadcasting, And so you can listen to us every morning at 7 a.m. So we'll have 2 hours of Wake Up actually
two
next week.
2 hours.
7 a.m. Yeah. Central.
Double the
8
fun.
8 a.m. Central.
Double the fun.
Yes.
As we begged.
So please, yes. Please consider donating to Catholic Community Media so we can continue to keep Catholic media in our local area. So starting Monday, June 5th at 7 a.m. Our next guest is Father Albert Blunt. He's a parochial vicar over at St. John the Evangelist in Prairieville. Good morning, Father Albert. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. Yes, it's great to finally make it on the show.
Okay, so how does it feel when people call you Father Albert now?
Yeah.
How is that, what's that feeling like?
It's definitely going to take some getting used to. When it's new people, it's not so bad, but people I've known for 12 years,
yeah,
they're a little extra dramatic about it, so it's still going to take some getting used to.
Well, I saw the pictures, and they were absolutely breathtaking, and just take us through that day. What were you feeling? Just start from the beginning. Tell me everything.
Everything. Yeah, it was, so the week before, I got to attend the ordination of a couple of my classmates and really see what was going to happen. So there was a both an anticipation, like, I'm ready, let's just do this already, mm-hmm. And there's still so many details to plan. So even the week leading up was a lot of energy, both nervous, not nervous about ordination, more so my first Mass, but the morning of... We do have a lot of peace going into ordination because I don't have to think about anything. There's an MC dragging me here, telling me to kneel, stand up.
Right.
But right before ordination, and there's excitement and peace, I'm calling my mom and dad, telling them where to park. My sister's driving. She gets into a wreck right in front of the
guitar. Come on.
Oh. And so I'm like, I'm so sorry. We got to go. I can't really stay here with you. But the beauty of living here in Baton Rouge in South Louisiana, like, the woman was totally fine who got in a wreck with her. The cop was congratulating me on my ordination. So it was like a little reminder right before it happened, like, man, this is why I have done this. Like, cause the people, for these random people who I encounter right before ordination is a cop who's probably writing a ticket for my sister.
Yeah.
So this is a beautiful little reminder going in that was totally unexpected. And then the bishop's homily, which was one of the best I've ever heard him give, honestly, mm-hmm. It was so mm-hmm. good, was about sometimes things are not going to go to plan probably right away,
right,
which has already just happened. So going into the ordination, I'm pretty sweaty, having dealt with my sister's wreck, and I'm like running around with my parents. But then immediately during the psalm, I was just overtaken with the beauty of all the people who are gathered and who are praying, particularly for me and for Joseph. And the Lord brought me to just this beautiful imagery of what that really is going to look like for my priesthood. And I was overcome with tears, and I had to respond to the bishop right away. And so I asked, like, Lord, this is beautiful, but can you get the tears to somebody else right now, because I need to talk to the bishop, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to respond.
The accident that your sister, was that right in front of the cathedral?
Yes, right in front of the
cathedral. Okay, so I'm walking up at the same time, and hey, look, it's going to be new. And you know, I was probably driving you nuts, patting you on the back and everything when you're trying to get things done. I apologize for that. what a beautiful ceremony, though. It was breathtaking. I have to admit, I had a few tears in my eyes, too.
Yeah, it was the music. We have such incredible musicians at the cathedral, and the music is always just lifting. And so that itself was extremely powerful. Mm-hmm. And honestly, for me, one of the most moving moments was at the end, we go in front of the altar, we're blessing Bishop Duca, and Joseph goes first. And when he moves, Bishop is weeping.
Oh, wow.
That we're blessing him. And I was so moved by it that when I blessed him, I turned around, I forgot that I was supposed to help him stand up. And so Father Joseph's like, you forgot Bishop. And so I'm like, oh no. And I turn around and Bishop just mumbles. He's like, you just gonna leave me hanging here?
Well, Father Albert, what are you most looking forward to with being a priest? It's only been a few days now, and you are being assigned to a wonderful parish, St. John the Evangelist in Prairieville.
I would say the last few years have always looked forward most to confessions and spiritual direction. That one-on-one, encountering people in a place that they think is really their worst, whether that's with their sin or situation going on that they feel is insurmountable, and just being able to sit there, because it's the place where I am the most in tune with the Holy Spirit myself. Like, I'm not thinking about me anymore. I'm not caught up in my own mess and weakness. It's just very clear, like, the Lord is moving, and being able to really just be there with the people. And that's been my experience so far. And the beauty of the Mass, I think, takes a little longer, because you can never really imagine yourself doing it until you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, is this real? Is this really happening?
Yeah.
So that's been kind of my experience so far, yeah.
What was that moment when you realized, okay, I'm going to become a priest, I'm going to start this formation, this is what I'm going to do?
So my conversion into the faith and my call to the priesthood were both St. Paul moments. Really instantly, this is it. And then the rest was all St. Peter, very stubborn and slow. So the call to the priesthood, when I was in RCIA, my soon-to-be, well, who would become my godmother, who's now a religious sister, first thought I was crazy, because I chose so quickly, within weeks of coming to Student Center, like, I want to be Catholic.
Wow.
But then when she realized I was serious, she told me right away, you're going to be a priest, to which I said, you're crazy. And and then a lot of people started saying, like, I think you're going to be a priest, I think you're going to be a priest, and I had no desire, but I did eventually tell the Lord, I've seen the saints, I've seen good priests, I know I would be happy, just give me the desire for that, because I don't want it. So fast forward a couple years, living in Philadelphia, working for the Theology Body Institute, I'm not discerning the priesthood, but I feel this tug towards silence, which I had felt a few years before, but wasn't quite ready, because I had been Catholic for a year. So I wound up on a retreat with the Sisters of Life up in Connecticut with a couple of my friends, and I'd been leading up to it praying a novena I had written for littleness, because the scriptures say, you know, you've revealed everything to little ones. When I first encountered this idea of littleness through St. Therese, I thought it wasn't possible for me because I'm too complicated. When I encountered it again with St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, I knew this was the answer. I needed to become little. On the retreat, to sum it up, I realized that was my actual identity. So I was praying for something that I already had. And as soon as I realized that, I ran into the Adoration Chapel because I had to tell Jesus, because he didn't know, of course, right? And as soon as I kind of screamed it, I screamed interiorly. I didn't want to freak anybody out because there was like 70 young adults from around the country. And I just yelled, I'm your little one. And there's a moment of silence, and I just hear, we've my priest.
Wow.
And my response wasn't very dramatic. It was like, sure, that sounds cool. So I decided that night I was going to be a priest.
Gosh.
That's amazing.
What's the timeline here? Your conversion to priesthood, how many years ago was that?
So I got baptized April 7th of 2012, so only 11 years ago.
We're talking 11 years.
Yeah.
And he's a priest.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Six of that was in seminary, so.
Gosh.
Wow. It's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So are you already at St. John's right now?
No, the assignment officially starts July 1st, so I am currently in residence at Sacred Heart with Father Josh Johnson, who had a huge impact. He was one of the first people I called, because he had just been ordained a priest a year before. And when I called him immediately after retreat, and I was like, I think I'm going to be a priest. He's like, finally. I've been dodging this since I met you. And I was like, what? You don't know me? And then, but he was right.
Yeah.
That's just absolutely incredible. I remember when I would always see you at LSU, I would just always see you with a smile on your face and just with joy radiating to everyone that you talk to. And that was my first impression of you, was this guy's always happy.
Yeah.
He always has a smile on his face. And I just continually see that when I bump into you in random places. So thank you so much, Father Albert Blount, for joining us today, and looking forward to seeing you at your masses over at St. John the Evangelist in Prairieville. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Yes, and thank you for your yes, too. It's been absolutely amazing to see these pictures and just to see the journey and to continue to see it in the future.
Yeah.
And just amazing.
What a journey, though. What a journey. Well,
for a guy in his size, I'm just trying to envision him as the little one. And but you know what? They sometimes go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I'm a nickname. Well, his new nickname for
the little one.
Me.
Okay, there it is.
We had a little one.
All right.
There you go.
Call the little one.
Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us when we return from the break. It is 8:30 on Wake Up.
Past the hour, you're listening to, and you're also watching us on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. And I have an old friend on the phone again, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie. Hey, Jeff, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Well,
it's sunshiny and beautiful, yeah, and I think we have a good weekend coming up.
It's going to be a beauty, yes. I hear. You know, back in the day when we did our food show, you and I and Monsignor Nalty, every now and then we would have this special guest on, Susan Ford, and she had a new magazine out at the time, which had to be one of the coolest magazines I'd ever seen, and it was Louisiana Kitchen and Culture magazine. And boy,
that's right.
How many recipes per magazine did it have? We went nuts over that thing.
It's over 100.
It's like in each issue, and it's all Louisiana stuff. It's really, really good food. And I don't know. We were just going to talk about that today. When Jeff and I were talking about, hey, what do we want to talk about food wise today? He said, let's talk about that magazine and all the recipes that it has in it. And it's like, I mean, I didn't get the latest issue yet. You have the latest issue, I guess. And
it just came out.
But I get these emails every now and then. It's got recipes, and I just drop what I'm doing and read that stuff because it is good food. So anyway, talk
it's
about
good
it.
Food for thought, huh? It's
yeah,
good food for thought because it gives you lots of ideas.
It does. It does. So what are some that stand out to you?
Well, there's a number of things that stand out to me, but I wanted to talk to you about this because this is something that I remember from my childhood. Certain smells and certain dishes, certain things that, boy, you smell it or you see it again, and it just brings you right back to being a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is grilled corn. I remember we used to have, as in our neighborhood, we have a big block party every year, and usually summertime. And I remember it's almost like at the end of the festivities, you know, once the day had kind of worn on,
mm-hmm.
we had friends that lived in the back of the neighborhood, and they would, I think it was like them, and then they had like cousins and all that lived close to them, right, all in the same neighborhood. So we would get invited. We'd all go over there, and they would continue the festivities. We'd have the kids run around playing, and
mm-hmm.
They would be grilling outside. And one of the things that they did every year was grilled corn. And so you got the corn on the cob with the butter, and oh man, just so delicious. Now this is 8 different, very creative flavors of ways that you can do grilled corn this summer. And you can do it. You can do it on the grill, obviously,
mm-hmm.
And you can do it. I guess really to your preference in terms of how well you want it. Cook. Some people like to have that little extra char maybe on there.
I do. I like that corn to pop on the grill a little bit and get that little char on there. It gives it a toastier flavor, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And you can use certain things to help, like, because all these, what I'm about to tell you,
mm-hmm.
are kind of like ways of topping grilled corn.
Yeah.
You can top it with different things and different mm-hmm. flavors. And all of it, you can have certain things that help the toppings to adhere to the corn. And so, like, butter, of course, would be the basic thing, right? Like melted butter. You could also use a softened cream cheese or softened goat cheese, because that'll stick to the corn, but also helps the other the other toppings to stick. And a basic rule of thumb is anything that would be good in a baked potato would be great on top of corn.
Never thought of that. Okay. Cream
so here's
cheese.
One thing
cream cheese. Boy, I love that idea.
I'm thinking bacon.
Isn't that great?
Though?
You're thinking bacon?
I never thought of that.
Chives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you lost me on goat cheese,
wait
but that's
till
just
hear.
My preference. So, okay, go ahead.
Wait till you hear some of these toppings. Now, here's one is just doing a simple, like a caramel corn. So, like, while you're actually grilling it, you can, once you've, like, turned it at least once, you can sprinkle it with, or drizzle, I should say, honey.
What?
And continue to do that little by little as the corn is cooking so that when you pull it off, you've got the butter on there and the honey, and it's kind of like a caramel corn. But that would be
more
like a dessert,
that.
A little dessert corn there. Yeah. But if you like me and you like the sweet and salty stuff,
yes,
then you can do a gorgonzola with preserves and prosciutto.
Oh, wait, wait. How do you do that?
That's like dairy overload.
But prosciutto, what do you, like, wrap it? What do you do?
No, you can take that, just kind of crumble it at the end.
This
stuff you're not necessarily going to do while the corn is cooking, right? You're going to cook the corn on the grill.
Yeah.
You're going to pull it. You're going to add your butter. You can add the gorgonzola and everything else at that point, right? Because if you add all that stuff to the grill, it's going to burn.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, this is stuff you add once it's pulled. And the thing is, with the corn, it's always the best rule of thumb, again, when you have fresh corn, it's always the fresher the better,
mm-hmm.
right? When you're going to go cook it, the fresher the better.
Right.
And then once it is cooked and you're pulling it, it's always good to eat it hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Now, if you have corn that's left over, you can always cut it off the cob, slice it off the cob. You could save that. You could use it for... you know, to put into salads or you know, into grits, or if you like to make hush puppies, you can mix it into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can keep those kernels, but in terms of actually making the corn and eating it, you want to eat it fresh on the cob, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah, sure.
So we did the gorgonzola, the preserves, the prosciutto. You can also do like a goat cheese, preserves, and bacon. Bacon and corn go really
there's your
really
bacon,
well
Damien.
Together. Yep.
Yep. All right.
There you go.
Now, I got to step back to the honey. That part's kind of freaking me out. You hit it with some butter, and then you hit it with honey, and then you grill it again, or you just eat it like that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's the only one where you're going to do this while it's cooking.
All right.
Right? So while it's on the grill,
yeah.
You can drizzle a small amount of honey over the corn.
Okay.
And that would be not just one time, but... slowly, kind of several times
you
during the cooking process.
You want it to sink in all the way to the...
so you want it to sink in. Now, some of that honey is going to fall off, right? It's going to go into the grill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not all of it. You know, some of it's going to stick. It's going to stay there. And, you know, you do maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 coats of this as you are cooking it, as you are turning it.
Okay.
Right? Because you think about corn is a cylinder. You know, when you're cooking it, you're having to turn it a little more regularly than you would...
Right.
Like a steak, right? It's got two sides, right? Chicken's got two sides.
Yeah, it's
right.
Like a hot dog.
Corn's got
you
got to
keep
sides.
Rolling it.
Keep
you got to keep rolling it. And you're going to move it to corn. If you're on a grill with charcoal, you're going to be moving it from hot spots to cool spots, right?
Right.
You don't want it to burn.
Yeah.
And you've got multiple pieces of corn on the grill. You're going to have to keep kind of manning the grill and moving it around. You don't want it to burn. You don't want it to overcook.
I'm giving that a shot this weekend, Damien. I have got to try that.
I look forward to hearing about it on Monday.
I bet you, though.
And here's another good thing.
Yeah, he's got another recipe.
Another good thing,
right,
though, is that with the corn,
okay.
Typically it's so cheap that if you mess it up, it's okay.
That's true.
And I'm sure it's still going to taste good.
Yeah, yeah. Just throw another ear on there and work on it, yeah. All right. Did we leave one out? Did you have another recipe?
Oh, I can give you a whole list here. They got cream cheese, pepper jelly, and basil, which is so good to add.
There's
a little kick to you. Or you could do some jalapenos with roasted peppers and onions, and those would be like your pickled jalapenos, like you put on nachos, right? The slices.
Yeah.
Roasted red pepper, goat cheese, and bacon, as that bacon's got to come back and make another appearance. You can do a loaded baked potato corn, so it's going to have like your salt and pepper and butter, grated cheddar cheese, sour cream. And of course, you got to sprinkle a little bacon on top.
There's some corn down in there somewhere.
Jeff, quick question on the corn. When you take, is it a sin to slice it off versus just eating it? You know, as a whole piece. Am I making any sense?
It does, because it seems like that honey would just be a mess.
I'm thinking you could just envision. He keeps talking about a baked potato, man. I'm thinking that corn and baked potato combo going. Oh man,
yeah.
Throw baked potatoes on the grill at the same time.
Are we going to lose anything there? Yeah.
If it is a sin, I'm guilty. Okay. For years I've done that because, you know, when you eat corn, I love it on the cob, but it gets all in your teeth. You know, you don't have floss with you. What you gonna do?
It's
you know, so
Jeff, thank you for confirming that because it can make a mess, and you know, you got some people who have teeth problems, and boy, when you slice it off the cob,
it's a lot easier.
Just makes life a lot easier.
Yes, it does.
And they still get the value and taste of the corn.
Yeah, that does sound good. All right, Jeff.
Absolutely,
Jeff. Where did we find these good good recipes of yours?
Well, these are Louisiana Kitchen and Culture Magazine. That's the page one issue. And it's in stores. It's all over the place. You can find it at your grocery or bookstore or whatever.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for joining us again. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Y'all take care.
Great. All right. 44 past the hour on Wake Up.
Minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back to Wake Up. So glad you could join us. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, and now we have Margaret Miller, coordinator with Walking with Moms in Need from the Diocese of Biloxi, here to provide an update and what's going on and learn a little bit more about what Walking with Moms in Need is all about. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. Good to talk with you.
Well, same here. So what's the latest going on in the Diocese of Biloxi? And then we'll expound on some other ideas with you guys.
Okay. A year ago, in fact, we just celebrated our first diocesan meeting with a meeting for Walking with Moms. So we're just past a year. Lots has happened. And just to recap for your listeners, Walking with Moms in Need in the Diocese of Biloxi was instituted by our bishop, and it is a pro-life ministry of the National Conference of Catholic Bishops. And the reason for this program is the goal that this ministry in each of our parishes, whether it's here in the Diocese of Biloxi or across the United States, would make possible an open door for our parishioners and others that find themselves perhaps in an unexpected pregnancy, and ultimately to do away with abortion entirely. And I noticed that you all started with prayer. Our patron saint is Our Lady of Guadalupe, and we ask for her prayer.
Wonderful. Yes. And this organization has not been around very long. As you said, you just celebrated your one-year anniversary. The Catholic bishops across the country have advocated that each church parish try to establish a Walking with Moms in Need in their church parish. Have you talked to others since you seem to be one of the leaders or pioneers in getting this started in your diocese?
Most definitely. We have workshops pretty regularly with our diocese, churches, et cetera, but I'm available for a workshop at any of our churches here in the United States. And in fact, we'll be doing some things at the National Right to Life that's coming up at the end of June.
Wonderful. And again, even though it's nationwide, the goal is to do it in a parish-based level, almost a grassroots effort. So what do you have to say? How difficult is it? And let's say, I would think all bishops would support this, correct?
Correct, absolutely. And again, we've been reaching out to, obviously, our bishop, who was very much in wanting to have this program be successful. We have 52 churches in the Diocese of Biloxi, and we've spoken to about half of them with our workshops. Again, this is a way to help women in an unexpected pregnancy. And, of course, just recently we celebrated our Blessed Mother and St. Elizabeth getting together with one another as their unexpected pregnancies began. This is it's an easy program to the extent that there needs to be a very small group, even one single person in each of our churches, in each of our parishes, that can help these moms. Most of them, almost 100% of them, are living below the poverty line, and they truly don't know that they have a choice. And this is for the Catholic Church, our parishes, to step up and give them the opportunity for life instead of death for their child.
Wonderful, yes. So how do you work in unison with, say, the local pregnancy clinics that are in and around the cities throughout the South?
Yes, this is a project that directs and helps them to get involved with their local Catholic charities, the Knights of Columbus here in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, particularly our Women's Auxiliary for the KSC, has been very, very helpful and sponsored in October one of our fundraisers for the month of October, Right to Life Month. We did a baby shower every day in our in one of our parishes here in the diocese, and we're successful in having gifted to us about $5,000 worth of items that we pass along to the resource centers that are here within the diocese.
Well, that was my next question. So where do you get your support?
Well, it's a great question, and everyone needs that kind of support. This isn't just as much as one person can take on walking with moms in each of the parishes. What we're looking for is parish support and making the people sitting in the pews a part of walking with moms in need. And the month-long baby shower absolutely did that, got the name of Walking with Moms in Need out there. And then also this year we had a fundraiser over Valentine's Day, and it was a one-day event. We had five of our schools here that participated in the diocese and eight of our parishes and raised $6,000 in one day to help with this ministry.
Very nice. So I love the idea that you get your local parishioners involved. Because, they may not know anyone, but, boy, they sure can support and be a part of this organization. And I think it's a wonderful one at that. What are the goals moving forward now that you've got a year under your belt?
Again, we've got over half of our parishes here in the Diocese of Biloxi that have participated in the workshop. So the next is to go to the 25 additional parishes this year. We do have some written materials. We've put out a wonderful brochure that gives them the local information and also helps them to contact myself or some of the other volunteers that are working closely with me. Again, we did a resource book last year that has been extremely helpful, and it's being given to, first and foremost, all the workshop churches that have been available and heard about Walking with Moms in Need. And I think that resource book in itself just puts a lot of, and the pamphlet, a lot of emphasis again on the importance of walking with moms in need.
Yes. Now, when you say resource book, I went to your website. Is it the action guide? Because that is a wonderful how to get started for your church parish.
Right. The resource guide is well over 100 pages of resources that are available here in the diocese. And it is online. And again, just with a simple phone call, and I do give everyone my contact information. They can reach me at 228-217-4742. And Margaret Miller, and I'm the coordinator here in the Diocese of Biloxi for Walking with Moms in Need.
And another option is go to walkingwithmoms.com. Margaret Miller, thank you so much for the work you're doing and continue doing God's work and helping those mothers in need. I tell you, that's
beautiful.
A worthy endeavor.
Indeed.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have
thank
a blessed
you so
weekend.
Much. You too, and keep praying for us.
Oh, we
thank
will.
You.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Margaret Miller, coordinator for Walking
with
Moms in Need.
Follow up. This is what's really needed out there. You know.
Well, and I'm glad to see the bishops really took the initiative and moved forward with it. And we have that in just about every diocese in our listening area, and I'm glad to see that. Mm-hmm.
Good
that
things
continue
to support.
To move
that's one of them, yes.
Well, guys, y'all ready for the weekend?
Yeah, bring it on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we're going to do that with a prayer for expecting mothers. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Blessed Mother, you receive the good news of the incarnation of Christ your Son with faith and trust. Grant your protection to all pregnant mothers facing difficulties. Guide us as we strive to make our parish communities places of welcome and assistance from mothers in need. Mary, Mother of the Church, graciously hear us and help us build a culture of life and help us become instruments of God's love and compassion. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday for day one of our summer pledge drive. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.